Hi, friends. Glad you came to church today. Thanks for being here. And if you're joining us online, we're thrilled that you're journeying with us as well. This morning, we begin a new message series we're calling Everything You Need. We're studying the life of the Old Testament prophet Elijah. Now, the reason we're giving this series this title is one of the most important motifs in Elijah's story is God's provision. God gives his people what they need when they need it. Whether they know they need it or not, even when they think they need something else, God gives provision, protection, and direction. Now, before we come to today's text, before we even pray, I'd like to hand you a few tips for interpreting Old Testament narratives, so you're ready when you read them on your own, okay? First, when you read a story in the Bible, a good rule of thumb is to begin by identifying the main character. Today, we'll come to a passage about Elijah in the court of King Ahab. We'll read about a brook and some birds, and a god named Baal. Question, who's the main character in the story of Elijah? God. That was a trick question. You nailed it. What have I taught you about church? The answer is always Jesus. In biblical narrative, God is always the main character. Whether his presence is obvious or obscure, the text is telling us something about God and how he relates to his people. Additionally, as we study the scriptures, we find the author of a narrative doesn't usually intend to teach doctrine. The author sometimes illustrates doctrine that's taught elsewhere. But generally speaking, it's dangerous to look to biblical characters to determine what to believe. Third, narratives don't necessarily prescribe behavior. Usually they're just reporting what happened. As noble as Elijah is, our narrator isn't primarily telling you to live like Elijah. If God tells Elijah to do something, it's not necessarily a command for you to do the same. Okay? Here's another tip. As we read, remember, narratives are not crafted to answer all of our theological and philosophical questions. Our questions are important, but the authors of Old Testament narratives rarely concern ourselves with our questions of why or what the heck, because they have another agenda. Lastly, one of the great mistakes that preachers make preaching narratives is allegory. For example, Joseph from the book of Genesis had a coat of many colors, and those colors were courage, faith, integrity. I heard a sermon once about David. As he prepared to face Goliath, David gathered 5 smooth stones, and those stones were courage, faith, integrity. You get the idea. Preachers preach like that, and people say, I never knew that's what that meant. That's right, because it doesn't. Now, when we are intended to draw lessons from life, from Old Testament narratives, we want to make sure we're drawing the right lessons, which I hope to do today. Before we read some of Elijah's story, let's ask God to speak to us. Lord, we come together this morning with many things on our minds and many responsibilities on our shoulders. But we ask you to not let any of those things keep us from hearing you. We all have different needs, but you know exactly what we need. And it may not be what we think. So I pray that every person in the room and every person online receive everything they really need. We pray this together in the name of the generous King Jesus, who came to bear our burdens. Amen. Have you ever eaten a kolache? pronounced kolaki in the old country. These Czech pastries are wildly popular throughout the state of Texas and along the streets of heaven. You can get these sweet pastries in many flavors, including blueberry, strawberry, lemon, Bavarian cream. The blueberry kolache is loaded with antioxidants, which means it's a superfood. It's good for you. The pastries became popular in Texas when a large number of Czechs migrated to the state, but it didn't take long to put a little Texas into the recipe. You can get them with sausage, bacon, smoked brisket. I love a sausage, egg, cheese, and jalapeno kolache. But my favorite place for kolaches is actually right here in Utah. It's called Dottie's Kolaches in Heber City. And she makes the most glorious cinnamon roll on the planet. Now this, oh yeah, this is a moment in which I would normally whip out a pastry to share with a lucky parishioner, right? There's just one problem. Does anybody know what ails me? Dottie's closed last summer. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Here's another story for you. Most of you know my pal Snowy. I gotta tell you, it's hard to be Snowy. People underestimate how difficult it is to be this small and this awesome. We recently brought Snowy to a photo studio for him to be included in a family photo with the girls. But while we were there, the photographer was so taken by his puppy charm, she suggested he get his own little photo shoot. Now, Emma took a video of this shoot. This will give you just a glimpse. Here it is. Oh, yeah. Now, Snowy was seriously considering going pro. But they called us a few days later to tell us they lost the digital file and all of Snowy's photo, as well as the girls, were gone. How about one more story? For Christmas, I gave Suzanne a special gift. Now, we've been wanting to get out of town for many months, but we've been forced to cancel multiple trips, including a trip to Hawaii last fall. It's been a season of disappointment. However, this Christmas, I secured really good seats to Adele's new show at the Coliseum in Vegas. Does anybody know where this is headed? Sure enough, on Friday, a tearful Adele took to Twitter to inform me that her concert has been indefinitely postponed due to delivery delays and many of her team members contracting COVID-19. Is anybody here today done with disappointment? Are you tired of being tired? Are you sick of being sick? Maybe you're frustrated with failure. You make a plan, you execute the plan, but things don't go according to plan like they used to. Maybe you've got a teenager who's trying your patience. Maybe your marriage is meh. Maybe you finally found a spiritual friend, but she moved to Montana. Now, we weren't planning to study the life of Elijah this winter. But over the last 2 years, I had to do a lot of things I wasn't planning to do. So this works. And I'll tell you, it's one thing I love about the Elijah narrative. Yes, it's a story about God's provision, but it's also a story about our disappointment. If today you find yourself discontent, disenchanted, and disillusioned by life, then this message is for you. I promise you, this message will not solve all of your problems, but it might help you think different thoughts. It might help you pray different prayers. This message today, and really this whole series, enables us to talk about an old principle in a new way. See, here's what I want you to believe. God will give you everything you need to do everything he wants you to do. God will give you everything you need to do everything he wants you to do. Sound familiar? Elijah is a fascinating character in the Hebrew scriptures. Throughout history, his deeds were legendary. But he comes out of nowhere. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Galilee said to Ahab. Okay, this is our introduction to Elijah. He's a Tishbite from Tishbe. You ever been to Tishbe? Well, no one else has either. This place is so insignificant, archaeologists can't even pinpoint its precise location. Our narrator tells us, now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years, except at my word. I told you that a major theme of Elijah's story is God's provision. But look at what God provides. A drought. Now this is about the worst thing a God could do to his people. Perhaps the only thing worse is if a God were to abandon his people to sin and shame and idolatry. But see, God does the first thing to deter his people from the second thing. Let me give you a little context. Ahab, the king of Israel, God's people, served in Samaria. But Ahab's not leading God's people toward God. He married a princess from a neighboring nation to garner political and military alliance. But in so doing, Ahab began worshiping the gods of her nation. And he encouraged Israel to do the same. His wife's name is Jezebel. People name their children after men and women of the Bible. But you're unlikely to meet a lot of Jezzies in this life. Read 1 Kings and you'll discover why. In the pages of 1 Kings, we were introduced to many kings of Israel. After the reign of David and Solomon and the split of the nation of Israel, the kings who ruled in the northern kingdom were all evil. But in the verses just before our introduction to Elijah, the narrator introduces us to the rule of King Ahab. 1 Kings 16, verse 30. Ahab, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. He not only considered it trivial to commit the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, but he also married Jezebel, daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and began to serve Baal and worship him. He set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal that he built in Samaria. Ahab also made an Asherah pole and did more to arouse the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, than did all the kings of Israel before him. Friends, that's saying something. He worships Baal. Baal and Asherah were Canaanite fertility gods. The ancients believed they were responsible not just for fertile wombs, but also bountiful crops. Israel was constantly enticed to quietly worship both their god and the local gods. They did this, by the way, as a way to hedge their bets in case one god was more powerful than the other. But God had a problem with that. He had an in or out policy. His covenant with people was like a marriage covenant. So Elijah's proclamation that a drought is coming is a direct challenge to the powers of Baal. See, supposedly, Baal controlled the rain. Well, through his prophet, God is making an important point about the way the world really works because he wants his people to trust him. Ahab and the people have begun to place their trust in Baal. That's why even in a drought, we can say with confidence, God will give you everything you need to do everything he wants you to do. See, in the drought, God has given his people what they need. How in the world would a drought be God's provision? It's because the people needed something more than they needed water. They needed truth. Up until now, the people and their kings ignored the prophets who warned them. They didn't listen. The people needed this drought like a stubborn tea needs limits and consequences. The most loving thing a parent can do is provide boundaries. Yeah, God will give you everything you need to do everything he wants you to do. And sometimes what we need is an intervention. Ask people who have successfully recovered from addiction you'll find they often thank God that they hit rock bottom. But the rest of this passage doesn't deal with God's people. It focuses on God's prophet. Look at verse 2. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. Now, if the land experiences drought, that means God's faithful prophet will experience drought too. But God provides for his prophet. He directs Elijah toward provision, telling him, you will drink from the brook. Oh, a brook sounds refreshing in a drought. God says, Elijah, you won't need to worry about water. Once again, we see the principle in action. God will give you everything you need to do everything he wants you to do. Now, you know, I like the way David put it in Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. We just sang the English words in the old translation. I shall not want. Psalm 23 speaks about God's provision. The good God provides for his people, like a good shepherd provides for his flock. When we think of God's provision, I'm telling you, we often limit the scope to food and shelter. We primarily think of monetary provision for physical needs. And it's certainly true our shepherd can be trusted to provide food and shelter for his sheep, just like he did for Elijah. But friends, if that's how you've limited the role of your shepherd, then you are thinking too small, and it shows up in the way we live. We believe that our shepherd can only be counted on to provide for our bare bones basic needs, but everything else, that's up to you and me. We gotta fight if we wanna get anything more in our life. But that's not the proper understanding of a shepherd in the ancient Near East. Shepherds loved their sheep like children, sometimes laying down their lives for them. When we assume God's provision is a promise of scarcity, we greatly underestimate our shepherd. Psalm 23 tells us God will give you everything you need to do everything he wants you to do. Do you believe that? Now, you might agree with it conceptually or theoretically. You might have memorized a few passages of the Bible that say the same thing. But do you live like you believe it's true? Do you live like you believe God will give you everything you need to do everything he wants you to do? Because it's true whether you believe it's true or not. I don't always live like it's true. Some days I wonder if God's given me enough time to do everything he wants me to do. I run about frantically, afraid that I can't get it all done. There isn't enough time, there isn't enough money, I don't have enough talent, I don't have enough wisdom. Well, all that would make sense if I didn't have a shepherd. But I have a shepherd. What if I started to live like it? So let me ask you, what do you need? What do you need right now? Do you need money? Maybe bills are due. You don't know where the money's gonna come from. Do you need wisdom? Maybe you have a major decision to make and the stakes are high. Maybe you need wisdom because you have a difficult conversation in your near future. And you wonder if you will be able to say everything that needs to be said and say it in a way they can hear. Maybe you need peace. You need peace as the pressure keeps building. You need peace as you wait for the test results. You need peace to keep your cool when your spouse loses his. Maybe you need peace because the truth is, if God fixed all your problems today, you'd still worry, wondering what the next problem will be tomorrow. Do you need peace? Well, I'm telling you, God will give you everything you need to do everything he wants you to do. Elijah's story illustrates God's provision for his people in a drought. Now, if you haven't connected the dots yourself, I can't help but think of our own present circumstances with COVID-19. Now, I know some of you have been barely impacted by the pandemic, but I'll speak for myself. My life has been turned upside down, tossed about, and rattled by the pandemic. Now, I'm not saying that God allowed COVID-19 for the same or similar reasons as he allowed the drought in 1 Kings 17. I don't have any special insight on the matter worth mentioning. But I do find it instructive to read 1 Kings to see how God provides in a big crisis. Now, I love Elijah's story because it demonstrates for us the provision of God for his people. But as it does, it vividly illustrates the point that God's provision doesn't always look like provision in the moment. Look back at verse 4. He says, "You will drink from the brook," that's good, "and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there." When preachers preach this passage, we usually tout the miracle of the ravens. Look how God provided. Yes, but the ravens. This week I read a sermon on this passage from one of the Western world's greatest preachers. He marveled at the miracle, but neglected to state the obvious. That's just weird, okay? During the drought, God brings Elijah to a brook and employs birds to do DoorDash deliveries. Brings new meaning to the word Grubhub. This week, Suzanne and I squeezed in a date night between shuttling kids to and fro, and we went to a little restaurant by our Salt Lake location, which makes a great burger. And I had a delectable burger with bacon marmalade and a fried egg. Ever had an egg on a burger? If you have not, you have not lived. Our server was delightful. And I remember last time I'd been there, I said, don't you have a special sauce? She said, actually, we have three kinds of aioli. Parmesan aioli, pesto aioli, and triple peppercorn aioli. I said, yes. And she brought one of each. Now contrast my bacon marmalade aioli burger with morsels pre-masticated by a raven. Just one of those would I tout to be the provision of God. Here's the observation. Sometimes God's provision is just weird. Sometimes God's provision doesn't look like God's provision in the moment. You might miss it if you're not paying attention. God warned Elijah about the ravens, probably so he wouldn't shoo him away. That's what I would have done. Would have flapped my arms and scared him off. Or worse, in desperate need and hunger, I might have tried to eat one. Elijah just went with it. Verse 5. So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. They brought bread and meat. Now, reading that just now, I wonder if they made him a little sandwich bar. A little charcuterie board. Friends, this is weird, okay? But it doesn't change the fact that it illustrates God will give you everything you need to do everything he wants you to do. He will. He may just do it in a weird way that you aren't expecting. That means with God, we better start expecting the unexpected. We'd do well to open our minds to a possibility that God's provision doesn't always include three flavors of aioli. I wonder how often in my ranting and raving, I've been shooing away the provision God's providing. Maybe your job wears you out. You work too many hours with too little appreciation for too little compensation, and you are tired. And it is in just that context that your manager or your colleague or your client comes with a little feedback on how you can do better. Now, in the moment, it doesn't feel fair. Feels like God's just piling on. But what if it's a raven with the morsel you desperately need? What if it's a truth that will help you do your job differently so it's not so taxing? I'll tell you a story. I have a friend who's a pastor, leading a team, writing messages, pastoring in a pandemic, all the while juggling parenting, dieting, date nights, the pursuit of a PhD, and countless crucial conversations that feel a lot like conflict. His oldest daughter's recovering from another big surgery. His family's still grieving the loss of a loved one, and his Adele trip just got canceled. Now that pastor, who is too tired to write another sermon, gets tasked by God to deliver a message about learning to recognize God's provision when it's delivered by ravens. I have a friend who had that happen to him. So a raven delivered a message to me yesterday as I stared at a blank page on a computer screen. I got this reminder: God will give me everything I need to do everything he wants me to do. Please understand, Elijah didn't live on raven deliveries forever, okay? God probably won't make you do so either. But will you trust his provision in the moment? Now, we're coming to the end of this section of Elijah's story. And I originally planned to end the message here with the ravens. But there's one more verse that caught my eye. It's usually preached with the story that follows, but that's not how Elijah experienced it. In the very next verse, our narrator tells us, sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Thanks a lot, God. Now, you may think this passage doesn't belong in a message about God's provision, but I think it does. I stand by the statement, God will give you everything you need to do everything he wants you to do. Here's why. This is different than saying God will give you everything you need to do everything you want to do. No, he doesn't give us everything we want. Here's something I've observed over the years. Sometimes God's lack of provision is his provision. You've heard me say that too, haven't you? See, God knows what I need. God knows what I don't need, even if I think I need it. Our friend Dallas Willard made this wise observation of life with Jesus. He said, when the Lord is your shepherd, you are prepared to take the absence of something from your life as proof you don't need it. Now, that kind of thinking and that kind of faith led an imprisoned and impoverished apostle to write the words of Philippians 4:19, my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Friends, come to Jesus with your needs. Ask him for a miracle, but trust him to answer your prayers as he deems best. And don't be surprised if he gives you something you didn't ask for. Maybe you're asking him to fix your marriage. Don't be surprised if he starts with your temper. Maybe you're asking him to fix your finances. Don't be surprised if he starts with your faith. Look, there is a reason God allows the brook to dry up on Elijah. But I'm going to leave you hanging on that until next week. Because that's the way life works, right? It sometimes feels like God leaves us hanging. But I'm telling you, God doesn't leave you hanging. He may not tell you everything you want to know, but he's not leaving you hanging. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand with me. Because I want to give you an opportunity to respond to God. in song. There's a song we sing from time to time. It has a funny name, Jireh. If you're not familiar with what that means, it's a transliteration of a Hebrew word, Yireh. Yahweh Yireh. It's a name for God, the Lord who provides, the Lord my provider. And the song just calls him Jireh, my provider. And what it does, I want this song to give you some words to pray of your own. And I'm telling you, if you feel like it, I want you to sing this song from your heart. Maybe you want to respond to it by lifting your hands. Maybe you want to get on your knees. Maybe you just want to put your hands out like this and say, thank you. Thank you. Make this song your prayer. And you know what? If you don't feel like it, pray it anyway. Sing it anyway. What did we say last week? Sometimes we have to do things we don't feel like doing so that we'll feel differently. In a moment, I'm going to have you join your hearts with the band. Before I do, I want to read a little more wisdom from Dallas. He said this. He said, we must accept the circumstances we constantly find ourselves in as the place of God's kingdom and blessing. Now, hold on. Dallas isn't saying that your circumstances are good. They may not be. They may be quite bad. But it is in that arena that God's going to work. Look at this. He says, God has yet to bless anyone except where they actually are. And if we faithlessly discard situation after situation, moment after moment, as not being right, we will simply have no place to receive his kingdom into our life. For those situations and moments are our life. He said, whatever comes will only confirm the goodness and greatness of the God who has welcomed us into this world. And he concludes, we are to see every event as an occasion in which the competence and faithfulness of God will be confirmed to us. Lord, at this moment I pray for my friends who are weary and discouraged and disillusioned by disappointment. May they experience your provision. Much of life has disappointed us of late. But I pray you help us put our eyes on you. Put our eyes on you, Lord. Help us to trust your character, not a particular outcome. Give us the faith to pray different prayers, the faith to think different thoughts, and to approach our day tomorrow with our eyes peeled, looking for your provision. We pray this in the name of the King. Amen.
Nothing I can do to let you down. Doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved than I am right now.
Going through a storm, but I won't go down. I hear your voice carried in the rhythm of the wind. Cross an ocean so I wouldn't drown. You've never been closer than you are right now. You are Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough. And I will be constant. Circumstance, you are tired.
sun goes down. Don't wanna forget how I feel right now. Yeah, we call you Jireh. You are known. Jireh, you are known. And I will be content in every circumstance. Tell us, amen. You are enough.
You are enough.
So I am enough.
So I am.
So you are enough.
You are enough.
I am enough.
So I am enough. You are Jireh. You are enough. Jireh, you are enough. And I will be content in every circumstance. You are a Jireh. You are enough.
Don't go too far, ladies. You mind if I call an audible? You okay with that?
Oh, come on. I'm all about.
Remember, who's the boss? Jesus would also have been an acceptable answer. But he got that right, actually. He got that right. Here's what I want to do. I'm going to change things up a little bit. I want to go back. I want to do a different song. A song we did just a little while ago. What is it? I Shall Not Want. Here's the truth. When we sang that song a little bit ago, I stood right over here. I was crying like a baby. Because I just got a sense that there are more than a few people in this room who are in that dark space of just tired of being tired, right? I'm done with disappointment. Oh, what if we could think differently? What if we could live differently? What if we could pray differently? What if we could see our circumstances through the eyes of faith? I know the ravens. Blessed be the ravens. But it's God's provision, and you can trust him with it. That's what I'm going to challenge you to do. As you sing this next song one more time, open your heart to him. Open your heart to him.
So, will you be my light when I cannot see? And when I can't take another step, Lord, would you carry me? Make it your song. When I've lost my fight, will you be my strength? And will you set me a table in the presence of my enemies. One big chorus, everybody, come on.
I shall not want.
Yeah.
I shall not want. Oh, my soul's got a shepherd in the valley, and I shall not want.
If you believe it, lift your voice, come on.
I shall not want.
Yeah, yeah.
I shall not want. My cup's running over, and I shall not want.
Here's what I will do. I will lift my eyes to where my help comes from, yeah. And I won't be afraid of the shadow, cause I've seen the sun. Anybody else? Yeah. No, I will not stop when the way gets hard, yeah. Cause the green only grows in the valley, and that's where you are. Now I need everybody, let's go.
I shall not want.
Yeah.
Oh, my soul's got a shepherd in the valley, and I shall not want.
Sing it again. I shall not want.
Yeah. I shall not want.
Cause my cup's
running over.
Now take those hands and put them together. Everybody, come on.
Yeah.
I got everything that I need. Your goodness and your mercy. Lift your voice right here, Capital. Sing it. I got it that I need. Yeah. Your goodness and your mercy. Remind yourself. Sing it again. Come on.
I got everything that I need.
Yes, Lord.
Your goodness and your mercy.
One more time. Sing.
I got everything that I need. Goodness and your mercy.
Let's go. Says,
I got goodness.
Come on.
Oh, and I got mercy. Hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah. Come on, put them together. I've got goodness. Yeah. Gonna trade my cross for a crown. No, this is not the end. When you call my name, take my rest. Cause there's a mansion in glory, and you're gonna meet me there. Throw your hands up one more time. Let's sing it together.
I shall not want.
Yeah.
I shall not want.
He will wipe, come on.
He will wipe every tear from my eyes, and I shall not want.
This is your song, come on.
I
shall not want. Yeah, I shall not want. I'll be home in this presence forever, and I shall not want. For the Lord is my shepherd. Can we sing that again? Let's do it. For the Lord is my shepherd. One more time, like you mean it. For the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Yeah. Everything I need, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thanks for that. Okay, friends, we got to talk about homework. Because see, we got to take this week, right? We don't leave this here. We take it with us. Because here's what I want you to do. Remind yourself repeatedly about the truth of this message every day this week. Okay? So here's what that might look like. Tomorrow morning, when your alarm goes off way too early in the morning, and you know, you don't want to get out of bed. Well, this is your moment. Take a deep breath and say to yourself, God will give me everything I need to do everything he wants me to do. Better still, make it a prayer. That's what I do. I wake up and I say, good morning, Lord. You will give me everything I need to do everything you want me to do. Lord, help me to believe that's true all day long, okay? Maybe what you want to do is remind yourself of that throughout the day. Your lunch break, God will give me everything I need to do everything he wants me to do. Maybe set your cell phone to buzz you at different times during the day. Just a quick reminder, buzzes in your pocket, and you say, oh yeah, God is giving me everything I need to do everything he wants me to do right now. See? Remind yourself of that truth throughout the day, throughout the week. Second assignment, maybe you want to memorize Psalm 23 and say it over and over and over again to yourself, okay? Now we sang a little bit of Psalm 23. If you don't know it, this song will make a lot more sense once you read it. It's a psalm of God's provision. Commit it to memory. See what he teaches you. Third, do not assume a dry brook means an absent God. Some of you had the brook dry up this week. God's still with you. Promise. He promises. He's still with you. He hasn't left you. You can trust him even when the brook dries up. Here's a verse for you this week. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. We read it a few moments ago. That image that's on your screen and that graphic that follows will be available for you to download from our website, from our social media accounts to be watching for him. I gotta be honest with you, if you look carefully at that graphic that's on that screen right now, see, like when we got our heads together and I was thinking, well, how could, you know, how I always like to come up with a phrase for every sermon. Well, I wanted to use this old phrase primarily so that our artist Kelly would draw a new version of it so I could put it on my TV every day of my life in my office. And if you think I'm kidding, I ain't, okay? Let that truth sink in this week and use this his beautiful artistry to let God help you remember, okay? If you came with a need, I think for the next little bit, we decide we're not gonna do our prayer partners in the front because of the rise of the virus, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to let us know if you have a need. Pray for, send us an email at care@capitalchurch.com. It's especially true if you're online. And my word, if you're online, I'm so thankful to God you joined us today. I know worship can be difficult when you're sitting in a living room or driving in a car, but I pray you connected to God today with us as you've responded to him in worship. That's what I want to pray for all of you. May you actually take God at his word this week that he will give you everything you need to do everything he wants you to do. Thanks for coming. Grace and peace.